Alright. Alright, so two screens should be a little different, but actually my PowerPoint should be on both of them. Alright, and so today we are continuing and in some ways finishing up the first four chapters of Genesis. And I see these first four chapters as really quite critical, quite foundational in terms of the knowledge of God, a background. And one of the things that we've talked about is that the message is in these first four chapters, but it's in seed form. You know, when I'm not a biologist, but I know a little tiny bit about biology, that in the seed is all the DNA information for that seed to grow up into whatever it's to be. If it's a acorn, if it's a whatever it is, it inside that seed, even a tiny little lettuce seed or a tomato seed, has all the DNA understanding of what that is going to grow into. And that's how I like to look at Genesis chapters 1 through 4. It's really everything that we need to know that is actually comes out through the scriptures is kind of in seed form in those first four chapters. And it continues throughout the scriptures. And really all of the Hebrew scriptures, all the way through Malachi, really the message of the gospel, what's in the Old Testament concealed, is in the New Testament revealed. And so what I want to do today, 2 weeks ago, we did talk about Genesis 4 a couple of times. And really today, I really want to apply something a little bit more specifically in terms of Genesis chapter 4. So it's going to be somewhat review. Hopefully those that weren't here will be able to follow along with this. We're talking about Genesis 4 has to do with the story of Cain and his relationship with God. I was tempted to say Cain and Abel, but we've talked about this, that really when you look at really the whole chapter, and especially the first 16 verses, it's really about God's interaction with the first offspring of the human race. Because Cain is the first offspring, prodigy, of the human race. And all 16 of those verses really deal with God's interaction with Cain. And really, then the rest of the chapter deals with Cain's descendants. And so I'm not dismissing Abel, and I think Abel stands worthy of a message on its own basis. But really, contextually, Genesis chapter 4 is God's dealing or relationship with Cain and this generation that comes from Cain. And the very first verse and the last, second to last verse, tell us some interesting things between Cain and his second brother. Because the beginning of the chapter starts off with the birth of Cain, and the end of the chapter ends with the birth of Seth and then Seth's children. And I believe there's an application in here for us that I want to share from verse 1 and verse 25 of Genesis chapter 4. Because ultimately, good or valuable Bible study messages is not just information, but it's, okay, what does that mean for my life? How does that affect my life as I live and as I follow Messiah? And even over the course of our journey, because our life with God is a journey. It's a traveling journey. It's a relationship. It's over time. And so I think there's something that we can apply and we can see from this section. So I'm going to read the two verses, verse 1 and verse 25, and then I'll translate them. And then we'll look at a couple of key words here. So verse 1 says, V'ha'adam yada et chava ishto, v'tahar v'teled et kain, v'tomer kaniti ish et Yahweh. And the Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and she said, I have obtained a man from Yahweh. And then verse 25. Vayida Adam od et ishto, vateled ben vatikra et shemo shet. Ki shat li Elohim zera, acher tachat hevel ki harago Cain. And Adam knew again his wife, and she bore a son, and she called his name Seth, for God has put or set to me a seed after or under Abel, for Cain slew him. And so initially, Eve says in verse 1 that Kaniti, if you're in Israel and you go to the store, you could say, Ani Kaniti Sefer, I buy a book. Okay? It means to buy or obtain. Okay, when you buy, you're purchasing it, you're getting it. Okay, go back for a moment. I want to ask you a question. Kind of put this out of your mind just for a moment. I was supposed to do this first. Sorry. Okay. I want to ask you a question about your spiritual journey. Without thinking too much, think about general Christian terminology. How would someone express their initial coming to faith? They would say, throw out. How would you say it? Born again. Okay. Anything else? All right. Full sentence. I've been saved. Okay. Anybody else? Ooh, good. All right. Anybody else? Ooh, you guys are good. Go ahead.
I got saved.
Have you ever heard that? You see, I'm really impressed because most of what you said was not focusing on I did it. But almost often when you hear the term I got saved, it's almost a little bit of a focus on who? Ourselves. See? Amen. But you see, this is part of the journey. See, and I think that this is where there's an application here. Because, and I look at my own journey, and I see more in, it appears to me that earlier in my journey, I saw what I was doing. I read my Bible. That's how I first came to know the Lord, was I was reading through the Scripture. You know, I saw that there was some type of decision in me to read the Scripture. You know, and I began to pray. I saw what I was doing. Do you see what I'm saying? But through my life, I've started to understand. I was reading the Scripture because something was tugging on my heart. Okay, it really wasn't what I was doing. It was what He was doing to draw me to Himself. All right. See, in other words, and it's interesting, when we look at Genesis, I don't think that there was a physical difference. Let's not take this too far, but I don't think there was a physical difference in Adam's relationship with Eve in Cain's conception than there was with Seth's conception. And it was still the husband and the wife coming together. But there was some sort of spiritual change in Eve in her understanding of what was happening. In other words, the very fact that Cain was born was because God placed seed in her when He created her. In other words, God appointed the seed for Cain just as he appointed the seed for Seth. But that's not what Eve was exactly thinking in verse 1. Her focus, and maybe it may have been a combination, because we are mixed bags. Can I say that again? Because I think we need to understand this. We, the body of Messiah, need to understand that we are mixed bags. You know, we believe, we stumble. We believe, sometimes we struggle to believe. We've been given precious and tremendous promises in Messiah. Sometimes we kind of forget them. Sometimes we almost seem to lay them aside. You know, we have this treasure, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels. We're fallible, sometimes cracked human beings. And I'll go this way because I need to hear this. Do you know, when you get saved. When you come to faith, when you begin this journey with him, do you know he doesn't actually make you earthly perfect? Sometimes we think it does, or we wish it does, but it doesn't. Because he works through these broken vessels so that the excellency of the power may be of him and not of us. See, and it's an amazing thing, but actually when we share Jesus with other people, often the light shines even in the midst of our weakness. Paul says that when I am weak, he is strong. And sometimes it's when we go through the toughest times and we think we're doing so poorly, and we talk to somebody and somebody else sees the love and the grace of Jesus in us. Because it's not, see, one of the things that we often do earlier in our lives, I'm just raising my hand, not even asking anybody else to raise their hand, is that we try to do it. We try to look good as a believer. We try to feel like we have it all together. And in some ways, sometimes that blocks the light of Christ. And it's sometimes when we're weak, when we're honest, when we are transparent, that's often when God's grace shines. So, this is a transformation that happened to Eve in her understanding. And she says here, it's interesting, in verse 1, she does say, I've obtained a man from God. She gave God credit, but she seems to be taking credit as well. With Seth, she doesn't seem to take any credit. God's appointed this seed. And it's really amazing, I think, as we journey, we realize more and more how much God has been gracious with us. And anything that we have is really his gift. It's his appointment. There's just the English translations of the two. And then just these words, kana, to acquire, to buy, or to gain possessions. And I said this last night in the message too. You know, when you buy, when you gain, you're growing. See, that's the work the world does, is we want to get bigger. We want to have more. We want to have more power, or we want to have more prestige, or we want to have more position. We want to have more respect. You know, that's the world wants all those things, to possess more. But actually, in the kingdom, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. In the kingdom of God, it's not an upward ladder. Did you know that? The kingdom of God is not an upward ladder. I need to say this again. Do you know the kingdom of God is not an upward ladder? It's not an upward ladder. It's actually a going down ladder. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a basin. We celebrate this at Passover. And he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. And he said, what you see me doing, you also do one to another. And there's no lower, in a sense, place than to wash one another's feet. That's the way the kingdom goes. That wasn't a step up, it was a step down. And I believe as we take this journey from what we are trying to possess to recognizing what God has done for us, His Spirit enables us to take steps down. You know, if you think about conflicts, marriage is a great example of working out love. And I think often when marriage conflicts are resolved, somebody, if not both, are taking steps down. That's when it's the healthiest resolution. Even between friends, conflict with another person, when at least one is willing to take a step down, then there comes to be resolution. Because that's the way God has reconciled the world. I mean, Jesus was one with the Father in glory. Talk about a step down. To come to earth as a man and to give his life for the human race. And we struggle stepping down for one another. Can I say that again? I'm going to say it again, whether you like it or not. I'm going to say it again. Jesus left glory and full fellowship with the Father to come to earth as a man, live on this earth, give himself at the cross, be separated from the Father for us. That is an infinite stepping down. And we struggle to step down for one another. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. And the word shet means to set or to stand or to stand up. God stood up a seed in Eve instead of Abel's. And we've already talked about this. Who was the subject of verse 1? If we go back to verse 1, there. Who was the subject in terms of the naming of Cain? Eve, I have acquired a man. And in the very last part of verse 25, who is the subject? God. So we want God to be the subject, yes, of our lives. Yes. All right, amen. Let's pray. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will continue to unveil to us the cross and the tremendous love, the tremendous servanthood, the tremendous step down of your incarnation and mission and death at Calvary. I believe as we understand that, as you bring revelation to our hearts, you enable us to step down for one another. I pray that your Spirit will hound us with this understanding, and that we will grow in our willingness to grow less. to be the servant and to serve one another. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing chapter in Genesis. And we thank you for the transformation in Eve, in her understanding, and that we can see in these verses. And we thank you for it. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So we are going to serve Kiddush, or communion. Kiddush is the Jewish term. And give us a moment to get it ready.